This is Washington Watch Weekly, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Now, here's our host, the president of the Family Research Council, Tony Perkins.
Hello and welcome to this holiday edition of Washington Watch. Coming up, the Israeli Air Force in precision strike struck 34 Hamas and Islamic Jihad targets in the Gaza Strip on Tuesday. The strikes were in response to rocket attacks that have been launched on Israel. These attacks were the first in some time and come in the wake of the abduction and murder of three Israeli teenagers, one of them also being an American citizen. The Israeli Prime Minister says Hamas is responsible for the murder of these teens and will pay a heavy price. Israeli Ambassador to the U.S. Ron Dermer provides more insight into the growing unrest. And it was a big week for religious liberty, with the Supreme Court ruling 5-4 in favor of Hobby Lobby and Conestoga Wood. Not surprisingly, the decision brought both cheers and jeers from those on Capitol Hill. Several Democrats are promising a quote-unquote legislative fix to the court decision. Newly elected House Majority Whip Steve Scalise says they have an uphill climb. Also, this Independence Day weekend, as we celebrate our freedom as a nation, increasingly we find the ability to use that freedom to celebrate our nation's heritage under attack. Todd Starnes of FoxNews.com will join us later to discuss freedom under fire. Let me encourage you to go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, where you can find out more about our guest on this weekend edition of Washington Watch. Well, on Tuesday, thousands of mourners gathered for the funeral of three murdered Israeli teens who have been missing since June the 12th. The bodies of the young men were found on Monday just north of the holy city of Hebron. And the Israeli government has vowed that it will bring their killers to justice. Now, this is an important story that I believe should concern all of us who stand with Israel. Ron Dermer is the Israeli ambassador to the United States, and he joined me earlier this week to discuss what is being done to address this tragic situation. Ambassador Dermer, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you for having me on the show.
All right, Ambassador, give us the backstory here. We know three Israeli teenagers abducted, murdered, their bodies found Monday north of Hebron. Your government, the Prime Minister, says that Hamas is responsible and they're going to pay a price for it.
Yeah, well, we know that Hamas members from the Hebron area perpetrated this heinous crime. What happened is that we had three teenage boys. One of them, as you mentioned, was an American citizen, Naftali Frankel, and they were on their way back from school, and they were kidnapped and essentially executed. And for 18 days, the people of Israel were united in the hope that they would be returned safe and sound to their families. Unfortunately, those hopes were dashed yesterday when we found their bodies, and now the entire Israeli public is united in grief. And after leaving the funeral and speaking there, the Prime Minister of Israel went to another meeting of his security cabinet decide what is the best course to ensure that a clear message is sent to Hamas that these types of actions will not be tolerated, and to defend the people of Israel against the attacks. In the last couple of days, we've had about 20-25 rockets fired at our cities, and Israel is taking action, as you mentioned earlier, anti-terror action in Gaza to go after the rocketeers and to harm Hamas's terror infrastructure that they had established in Gaza.
Ambassador, these rocket attacks that have been launched in the last few days, is this related to the murder of these teens and the search for them?
Well, what happened is once these teenagers were missing, Israel took various different actions in Judea and Samaria, the West Bank, against Hamas and had arrested many Hamas members in the pursuit of the killers and to get information that would lead to their, we hoped, safe release. Unfortunately, it didn't turn out that way. But also to make clear that we were not going to tolerate Hamas reestablishing the terror infrastructure that Israel worked so hard to dismantle about a decade ago.
Ambassador, I know you have to go here in just a moment, but I want to ask you another question. Most folks here in the United States who have not been to Israel do not understand the close quarters in which you deal with. The West Bank is basically just across the line. We're not talking about a whole lot of space here. It's not like Texas. And so you are under a constant threat. One of the elements that has been very successful in defending Israel is the Iron Dome. How did that factor in these latest rocket attacks?
Well, we're very thankful that we have Iron Dome, which is essentially a rocket that's fired to knock down another rocket, and those are it's a joint cooperation project with the United States. The U.S. has funded Iron Dome. It's Israeli technology, and it does wonders in protecting our population and also giving the Prime Minister the time and space he needs to make the right decisions for the security of Israel, so we're deeply appreciative for that. You mentioned a very important point, which is that I don't think Americans fully appreciate the small size of the state of Israel. You know, most people think the greatest problem in the Middle East, perhaps in the world today, is that Israel's too big. In fact, Israel is about the size of New Jersey. America, the United States of America, is 500 times the size of the state of Israel. And you had mentioned Texas before. There's a very famous story of then-Governor Bush, George W. Bush, going up in a helicopter with then-Minister Sharon, and after rising in the helicopter and going up there, he saw on one side the Mediterranean, on the other side the Sea of Galilee, which is more like a pond than a sea. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, Minister Sharon, there are driveways in Texas that are longer than this country is wide. Israel is all of, 9 miles at its narrowest point. If you don't include Judea and Samaria, even if you do include it, it's no more than 40 miles. We're a very, very small country, and we're threatened in a way no country on earth is threatened. You can imagine how America would respond if not 10,000 rockets or 1,000 rockets or 100 rockets, even 10 rockets would fall on American city, what the American people would want their government to do in order to protect them. So there's clear backing in Israel for taking very strong action against the terrorists, and we hope very much that we will get support from around the world for this. And one final point, it's very important to send a message to President Abbas, the leader of the Palestinian Authority, who condemned actually the kidnappings. The problem is on one day he's condemning the kidnappings, and on the next day he's making a government with the kidnappers. He's condemning terrorists one day and then making an alliance with Hamas, a terror organization committed to Israel's destruction, the next. So we hope that a clear message would be sent to Abbas to end this alliance that he has forged with a terror organization committed to Israel's destruction. And really, Tony, the very important point that a lot of people are not focused on is to actually, people have to confront the culture of terrorism that has been created within Palestinian society, where terrorists are hailed as heroes, and where murderers are glorified, and where young children are basically poisoned with constant incitement against Israel, against Jews, against Christians, by the way, as well.
Right.
Something has to be done, and the world has to issue a very, very strong call to make sure that any Palestinian leader, no matter who it is, understands that this type of incitement and hatred is completely unacceptable. I hope in the wake of this horrific crime against these three teenage boys that the world will wake up and send a very strong message to the Palestinians that terrorism is unacceptable and it will be given no quarter.
I think you're absolutely right. That does need to be done. But know this as well, Ambassador, that I believe there are many, many Christians across this country that are praying for your president, your prime minister, and your leadership as they make decisions in these difficult days.
Thank you so much. It's deeply appreciated. And the public in Israel knows that we are not alone, that we have the support of so many people throughout this great country and throughout the world in defending ourselves. And we appreciate your support.
All right, Ambassador. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Take care.
That was Israeli Ambassador Ron Dermer. When we come back, right here on the weekend edition of Washington Watch, Congressman Steve Scalise, the newly elected Majority Whip, joins me to talk about the Hobby Lobby case. Not surprisingly, the decision brought both cheers and jeers from those on Capitol Hill. Several Democrats are promising a legislative fix to the court decision. What will happen? That's next, right here on the weekend edition of Washington Watch.
America's first liberty, the freedom of religion, is being threatened. It's being pushed out of our public life, out of our schools, and even out of our churches. FRC has partnered with Liberty Institute to document these events. Our new report is titled, Undeniable, the Survey of Hostility to Religion in America. It's not exhaustive, but it records almost 1,200 incidents of hostility to religion. We invite you to download your copy at religioushostility.org.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I hope you have had a great 4th of July celebration.
And I tell you what, we've got reason to celebrate. On Monday, the U.S. Supreme Court delivered one of its most significant rulings upholding religious liberty in a generation. In a 5-4 decision, they toppled one of the most oppressive pieces of Obamacare, the HHS mandate. Now, this was great news for Hobby Lobby and Conestoga Woods Specialties and employers who don't want to be forced to pay for health care coverage that could end a pregnancy. Not long after the decision came down, we started hearing that there were Democrats in Congress that were seeking a quote-unquote legislative fix to the ruling. Newly elected House Majority Whip Steve Scalise joined me to provide more insight on Capitol Hill's reaction to the decision. Steve, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, always great to be back with you.
Well, a big victory yesterday for religious freedom in the workplace for employers. But some of your colleagues on the other side of the aisle say they're going to fix it. They're going to seek a legislative remedy to force companies to comply with their demands.
Well, I tell you, you know, they can do whatever they want to try to do on their side. I think, number one, it embarrasses them to show just how anti-religious freedom they are, and the fact that the Supreme Court made it very clear that you can't go and force a company, especially tailored like Hobby Lobby and other small companies, you can't force them to violate their religious beliefs to comply with federal law. You know, if they want to go and try to take up the case for denying people their religious freedom, let them go scream from the mountaintops and expose themselves. But I can tell you this, Tony, there is nothing that's going to pass out of the House that will undermine religious freedom. In fact, we've been very vocal. I know I have, and many of my colleagues in the RSC, that this is something that needed to happen. The Supreme Court needed to make this decision, and now needs to go further as it relates to other organizations and groups like the Little Sisters of the Poor, who are facing some similar attacks on their religious freedom.
Now, Steve, I know you all are out on recess, and so you were not here in D.C. The members were not here in D.C. gathered when this decision came out yesterday. But have you spoken with some of your other colleagues and gotten their sense on this decision?
I sure have. And, you know, there were many members who were very vocal, tweeting, using social media to commend the Supreme Court on finally getting something right as it related to Obamacare. But I think even further, to show just what this president's done to try to attack religious freedom and to show that there's a limit. This president says he's got a pen and a phone and he thinks he can just do whatever he wants. And here he used his unelected bureaucrats over at the Department of Health and Human Services to try to come out with a ruling that would literally trample on religious freedom and tell employers that they had to violate their own faith, Tony, just to comply with the law. And the Supreme Court pushed back and said enough is enough. And it shows there is a limit. There are definitely limits to what this president can do. We're going to be taking legal action from the House's standpoint to push back. But I really commend Hobby Lobby and the company out of Pennsylvania, I know that you were with just yesterday, for stepping up and saying, we're not going to stand for this. And they put their name on the line, and they took this all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and they were victorious.
Yeah, I think you're right. We absolutely owe the Green family, the Hahn family, a debt of gratitude for being willing to really step out front and defend religious freedom by taking this challenge to the Obama administration scheme under the HHS mandate. Steve, I know you got to go, but I want to ask you one last question unrelated. Earlier in the program, I had U.S. Ambassador Ron Dermer on. We were discussing the abduction of three Israeli teenagers, one of them having an American citizenship. Their bodies found yesterday just north of Hebron. This administration has not been very supportive of Israel. In fact, I would argue that the comments that Secretary of State John Kerry made, I think one of the times we were over there when he made the comment that if the Israelis do not come to the peace table, to the table, and agree to the terms of his peace agreement, there would be violence from the Palestinians, and almost justifying it. Has our administration, the rhetoric?
It was just a few months ago, back in November, when we were in Jerusalem, when, in fact, we were staying at the very same hotel that Secretary of State Kerry was at, when he made that statement. And in fact, he used the term third intifada, which not only is so offensive, but he literally was over there in Jerusalem, almost giving comfort to the Palestinians in their quest to just try to ramrod the Israelis into recognizing Palestinian state without any recognition from the Palestinians that Israel has to be recognized as a Jewish state. And you can see, unfortunately, it's undermined. What this president's done has undermined our relationship with Israel. And it's unfortunate because we met with Prime Minister Netanyahu on that trip in November. And he just seemed very dismayed that you had the President of the United States and the Secretary of State undermining that relationship that's so important to America. And frankly, it's a bipartisan relationship. This is, Democrats and Republicans come together not too often, but when it comes to standing up for our relationship with Israel, it's always been bipartisan. It's unfortunate to see this president, in essence, supporting and undermining of that relationship and encouraging this kind of behavior.
Well, I think with the activity we've seen there with the strikes, the Israeli Air Force striking 34 targets in the Gaza Strip, missiles being fired, rockets being fired over from Hamas, we're seeing a level of violence there that we have not seen in a while, and this may just be the start.
Well, it is, and unfortunately, you always used to have this understanding that when Israel had to go and defend themselves, that America would always have their back. And, we question whether this administration really does have Israel's back, but ultimately they've got to defend themselves. And I support their efforts to do that. I know you do as well. Whether it's from Palestinians, whether it's from Iran and Hezbollah, or even from the threat of a nuclear Iran, it ultimately is something that we've got to be concerned about, because if Israel falls, and it will not fall because they're not going to stand for it, but we've got to be standing right beside them and make sure that we have no uncertainty in that relationship between the United States and Israel, because they are the only elected democracy in a very troubled part of the world, and we need to stand with them on every front.
All right, Congressman Steve Scalise, thanks for joining us today and weighing in on the issues of the day.
Well, it's always great to be with you, Tony. Thank you for representing our beliefs, and of course, yesterday was a great victory. We need to continue fighting on those fronts.
That was Louisiana Congressman Steve Scalise. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, when we return on this weekend edition of Washington Watch, our good friend Todd Starnes with FoxNews.com joins us. Don't go away. We're back with more right after this.
Should Christians get involved in politics or focus on evangelism? Historically, Christians have disagreed, but theologian and author Dr. Wayne Grudem has some answers in his new booklet titled, Why Christians Should Seek to Influence Government for Good. Dr. Grudem explores the history and theology of Christian public service and challenges us to be well-informed and vote wisely. So what will you do with the opportunity you've been given? To download your copy of this booklet, visit frc.org/Christian Influence.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Well, yesterday we took a day to celebrate our independence as a nation. My family celebrated with, what else but an all-American cookout, and we spent a little time swimming in the in-laws' pool. A freedom we often overlook, though, is that of expressing our national pride in patriotism. Lately, we've seen the red, white, and blue on greater display among Americans as many have cheered on the USA in the World Cup. While sports can generate a deep sense of pride in one's country, there remains a troubling trend of a threat to those who want to celebrate our nation's Christian and patriotic heritage. My friend Todd Starnes of FoxNews.com joined me to discuss these threats, many of which he highlights in his new book, Godless America. Todd, welcome to Washington Watch.
Tony Perkins, happy Independence Day.
Well, I am independent. I am free. Yes, I'm celebrating the 4th of July. I know you are, and probably not in the same Southern tradition that we do down in Louisiana, as you are now exported up there to New York in a foreign country. Well, let's talk about Godless America. It's been out there now for a couple of months. I know you've been crisscrossing the country drinking that sweet tea and talking to people about the attacks on religious freedom. How's the book going?
you know, it's going very well. And it's one of these books that, you know, didn't come out and just, you know, make a big splash. You know, I think this is really growing by word of mouth, and people are reading this and they're passing it along to their ministers and to people in their Sunday school classes. And we have been very surprised at the sales numbers. But to be perfectly honest, a lot of people have been genuinely shocked mm-hmm. when they read this book to find out what's been happening in the country. And Tony, I listened to you during the introduction, and you're absolutely right. You know, if it wasn't for organizations like Family Research Council, I think that this country would be in a worse world of hurt, because you guys have been out there on the forefront, not only alerting us to these stories, but also taking a lot of arrows in the process.
Yeah, folks on the left don't want the rest of us to know what they're doing. And, of course, that's what you're able to do there at foxnews.com. And I want to ask you this, if you've yet seen an uptick in information coming into you as you've gotten this book out there, people see these stories and they say, you know, I didn't realize this was happening. And so they start feeling a sense of empowerment to report these stories, because oftentimes, as I said earlier, the outcome is good if people will simply stand up.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And we have, about 2 to 3 million people a month who read my column at foxnews.com. And when those folks decide to take action, they read a story and they get riled up, well, they let their opinions be heard. And just about 3 weeks ago, I got a telephone call from a dad. His little boy was supposed to read a poem in his classroom, and the child picked a poem that his Sunday school teacher had read. And just before the little boy was supposed to get up in front of his class to read the poem, the teacher saw it and said, you know, I'm sorry, but you're not allowed to read any poem that mentions God in this classroom. Well, the father called me, and we did an interview, and I called the principal. And Tony, about 45 minutes later, that little boy not only got an apology, but he was also allowed to read that poem in his classroom.
It's a shame that it has come to that, but that is where it is. In part, it's I think in some cases, and I know you've seen this, some cases, like I think there was another case in Florida that you had not too long ago, where the teacher would not allow the student to read a Bible during free reading time.
Yeah.
And even I think in that case, is that the one where they had the voicemail where they called the parents from the classroom?
Oh. And that was classic, because you know, we get a lot of those stories very similar, but in this, what made this one so unique is normally they're he said she said kind of incidents.
Right.
But in this case, we actually had the teacher's voice on an audio recording telling the parents that he is not allowed to have that book in her classroom.
Yeah, you had the smoking voicemail in that case, and you could tell just by listening to it that the teacher, in my opinion, after listening to it, was aggressively trying to expel God or any reference to him or anything associated with him from the classroom. Sometimes I think it's intentional. It's the worldview of those in education. Other cases, it's simply those that are uninformed, misled by the left's repeated use of rhetoric that is wrong, is incorrect. And so simply by shining a light on it and saying, hey, this is not right. And of course, in some of those cases, you have legal groups like Liberty Institute that weigh in, and you correct it. It's a shame that it's come to that. But if we're going to preserve these freedoms that we're celebrating here today on July the 4th, that's exactly what we're going to have to do.
You know, Tony, back last month, the Southern Baptists were meeting in Baltimore, and Rick Warren was invited to speak on a panel about religious liberty, religious freedom. I interviewed Rick for my book, and he told me something. We were standing just outside my office here at the Fox News Corner of the World, and he said that he believed that religious liberty is going to be the civil rights issue of our generation. While he was at the Southern Baptist Convention, he said something else, and I think it's something that that I actually predict in the book. Rick Warren said, in reference to religious liberty, and this was reported at the Christian Post, he said that he was going to do his best to make sure that we stay out of jail, talking about pastors. But there is one thing worse than going to jail. It is staying out of jail and losing the gospel. And that was something that that Russ Moore of the Southern Baptist Convention said. And here's what Rick Warren said in response to that. Rick Warren said this: it may take some pastors going to jail. And then Rick Warren followed up that by saying, I'm in.
Well, that's, I do think that it could very well come to that in our lifetime. A few years ago, I didn't think it would, not this quickly. But as we have seen the aggressive nature of this administration and this president, open hostility of this administration toward Orthodox faith, we've seen it in the HHS mandate. We have seen it in the numerous cases regarding marriage. I think it is going to come down to that. We've got to choose whether or not we have a greater fear of man or a greater reverence for God. You can't have both. And I think it's going to play out very quickly in our day.
You know, it reminds me of this Lutheran minister I interviewed. I think it was back in May. One of his church members alerted him to an incident at the VA hospital where the chapel had been religiously neutralized, and they had actually erected curtains so they could hide the cross and a statue of Jesus lest they offend somebody in the chapel, Tony. And so this Lutheran minister spoke up. He wrote about it on the church's Facebook page, and someone actually sent me that posting. And so I interviewed the pastor, and he told me, he goes, you know, we're not a politically active church. You know, we're just trying to get out there and share the love of the Lord with people. But he believes that there are times for ministers to stand in the pulpit and alert their parishioners, their church members, to what's happening. And I say kudos to that church, Our Savior's Lutheran Church, up there in Michigan, for taking a stand. And it wasn't an easy thing, but he took a stand. And as a result of that, people were alerted and they could take action.
All right, Todd Starnes, we're out of time. I'd love to spend the rest of the 4th of July with you, but we got to go. Thanks for being with us.
Tony, have a happy 4th of July.
That was Todd Starnes with FoxNews.com. To find out more about Todd and what he's doing and about his book, Godless America, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the links over. Also, while you're there, be sure and sign up for my daily update. Comes out Monday through Friday, keeping you informed on what's happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. Again, that website, TonyPerkins.com. Well, thanks so much for being with us on this weekend edition of Washington Watch. Again, I hope you've had a great 4th of July weekend celebrating your freedom, freedom as a nation, but let us never forget our dependence upon God. Let me leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul. You've done everything that you can do, as he talks about in Ephesians chapter 6. When you've prayed, you've prepared, and you've taken your stand. By all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch Weekly is a donor-supported ministry of the Family Research Council.